Chapter 4 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, entitled Of Creation. It pleased God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness in the beginning to create or make of nothing the world and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. After God had made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls, endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness, after his own image, having the law of God written in their hearts, and power to fulfill it, and yet, under a possibility of transgressing, being left to the liberty of their own will, which was subject unto change. Beside this law written in their hearts, they received a command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which while they kept, they were happy in their communion with God and had dominion over the creatures. Now, these two sections in chapter 4 highlight four foundational biblical truths. First, that we live in a cosmos created purposefully by the triune God. All that we see was not always there. Out of nothing, God made all things. And so the confession is simply rehearsing and highlighting what we read in Genesis chapter 1, that the universe is not self-existent. The personal, living, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the creator. He is the author, the giver of life. As Paul puts it in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. And so this first section is impressing on us that we do not live in an impersonal, thoughtless, accidental universe. Genesis 1 is the foundation stone of biblical religion. Fail to understand Genesis 1, omit Genesis 1, and the Bible is just a total enigma. And so Genesis 1 and the prevailing, yet prevailing, Darwinian theory of evolution are diametric opposites. One glories in meaningless chance and the survival of the fittest. The other glories in the personal God who said, "Let there be," and there was. So the first truth highlighted here is that the cosmos was created purposefully by the triune God. Secondly, that God made all things good, as we are told here, which is simply rehearsing the reiterated good of Genesis 1 and the climactic very good of Genesis 1, verse 31. There was no inherent flaw in God's creation. And that's important to understand because sin is an alien intrusion into God's good creation. It may puzzle us and perplex us how that could be, but the fact is, sin is an alien intrusion. In the beginning, there was no inherent flaw in God's creation. The third foundational truth highlighted in chapter 4 is that human beings, male and female, are made in the image of God. And again, the chapter is simply highlighting Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And the Bible is absolutely adamant that we are God's unique creation. We are not higher primates. We are God's creation, made in his image, made to represent him and made to reflect him. And so the subtext of Genesis 1 as of these two sections in Genesis 4, in Westminster Confession chapter 4, is that we are not our own. We are not our own. We were made by God and made for God. And section 2 continues by reminding us that God has implanted within us his law. And if you have time, you could read this afternoon the second half of Romans chapter 2 and relate it back through to Genesis 1. In other words, we are moral creatures. But as we shall see in chapter 6 of the Confession, we are fallen, rebellious, moral creatures. Because in creating us and implanting his law within us, God did not make us immutable, that is, incapable of change. But rather, as the Confession says, we were subject unto change. But although we were subject to change, there was no necessity compelling us to change. But change we did when in Adam we fell, when he listened to the creature in preference to the Creator. Paul sums it up, doesn't he, very strikingly in Romans 1:25. We end up worshipping the creature rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. In Adam, God gave us freedom to choose, and in Adam we chose death rather than life. And the fourth great truth highlighted in this fourth chapter is that all that God made, he made, as the opening words of the first section put it, for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom and goodness. All things were not only made by God, they were made for God, for the display of his glory, the glory of his eternal power, wisdom and goodness. And that's something that Paul encapsulates in those closing words in Romans chapter 11, although more particularly he's speaking of the whole nature of God's saving purpose in Christ. From him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory. He made all things for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness. And so a fitting summary of this fourth chapter you'll find in Psalm 33. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we bow before the majesty of your glory, of your power, of your wisdom, and of your truth. We praise you this morning that we do not find ourselves in the midst of a universe that simply came to be, but that we find ourselves in a universe that you, by your power and purpose, brought into being. We praise you, Lord, that you are the sovereign creator of the heavens and the earth, and that we were made in your image, and that though we fell in Adam, in Jesus Christ, your Son, our covenant King, that image is recovered and restored in us, and one day will be perfected when we are conformed fully to his likeness. Lord, in a world full of lies and deceptions, placard the glory of your sovereign creatorhood, we pray. And we ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.